Are you guys about set? I can hear the murmur starting to die down, and you can hear the chairs, like, you're not scraping around quite as much. And looks like we still got a couple people in the back that need a seat, so you get comfy. Awesome, guys. Anybody ready for spring?
Come on.
Yes.
That's a fun week. Didn't realize how much I needed that weather till it came. So, that was fun. So I want to just share a message with you guys tonight and title it pretty specifically. And what I'm calling it is, I want to talk about how we're created to create. And so I want to share just a word about creativity. And before all of those of you who aren't like artsy-fartsy type people or just like check out, just like stay in there for the first 5 minutes, and I think you'll see this is for you as well, all right? It's not just for those who are like, dancing around, painting stuff, and like, maybe singing, and like, as awesome as that is, this word about creativity is for every single one of you, okay? So, so why don't we just say that? Just say, I'm creative.
I'm creative.
Yes, you are. I'll tell you why. So, we're just going to launch right into it. I'm going to start by talking about creation, okay, because that's pretty fundamental to our desire and our purpose to be creative. But I'm just going to pray for you guys because I really have a threefold intention and prayer. And the first is just that through this message that you would be so connected to the Father. You'd be so connected to the one who made you, right? In His image. And through this message, you would be more aware of who you are and your identity. And what it looks like for you to express your creative purpose. And the third thing is just that through this message, you would be equipped, right, to make an impact and to bring glory to God with your life. All right, so that's my prayer. So I'm just going to pray that. I think I'm actually going to try this without the mic. It's not just a massive room, and I feel like I can connect better without this. So I'm going to try it. If my voice starts to give, I'll go back to it. So I'm just going to pray into that, and then we'll launch right in. So Father, thank you so much for this group of people. I pray tonight that you would anoint my lips. I pray you'd anoint my words, that I'd be able to articulate the truth of your word. And Father, that through this message, God, that everyone in this room would just be able to connect with you in a deeper way, in a more profound way, God. And Father, I pray that they would be more aware of who you created them to be, and what it looks like for them to settle into their identity. And Father, I pray that through this message and through this time together, God, that Holy Spirit, you would equip believers, you would equip saints, you would equip us to walk out our calling. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's totally going to work without a mic. This is great. So, created to create. And I want to talk about creation. Obviously, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? But the point that I want to make, I almost have to go before that a bit. And we don't know, you know, all the details and stuff. But from just the whole of biblical revelation, we know that sometime before creation, there was rebellion. There was a rebellion in heaven. There was war in heaven. There was a chasm, a split. And obviously Lucifer, a.k.a. Satan, right, was one of God's main... Ezekiel says he was the guardian angel. It's just unbelievable. And he rebelled, right? He rebelled against God. And it's clear that a third of the angels decided that he's right and God's wrong. And so they rebelled against God. They rebelled against his goodness, his nature, his character. And I just want us to frame that a little bit because... Obviously, Genesis 1, it starts with creation. But we know, like I said, that there was rebellion before that. And so, what was God's response to principalities and powers rebelling against who he was, right? And sometimes we think that maybe God lashed out in anger, right? And I'm sure he was righteously angry. I'm sure there was a desire for justice within his nature. Maybe he put the fist down and kicked him out of heaven, and that obviously happened. It said Satan, he fell from heaven like a star. But I want us to think about who God is and how he responds, and how he responded then to the rebellion against his nature and character, right? This was something that, these angels did not lack revelation. But Satan, the father of lies, because that was the first lie, basically was like, you're not good. And God, how he responded to that is unbelievable. And I believe that God's response to that is actually Genesis 1. And it's pretty clear that creation was right in the context of rebellion. And I want us to get this tonight, because we are all rebels. In our nature, in who we are, right? We're born into sin, and we are rebels to who God is. But I want you to think about what he does in response to rebellion. And Genesis 1 makes it clear, God created. God's response to rebellion, his response to a third of the angels basically saying, no, you're not good, was to release a stunning display of creativity. Right? It says the earth was without form and void. It was chaos. It was without definition. And God spoke. He could have crushed that rebellion. He could have extinguished their existence, literally. Right? Instead, what does he do? He responds by creating. He responds by speaking the universe, speaking worlds into existence as a witness to principalities and powers that I am good and I am who I say I am. And I define truth, and those who rebel against me are living in a lie. Right? That's his response, guys. That's the power of creativity. That's the power of beauty. That's the power of the Word of God being released into a place that was about form and void. And there's just this unbelievable, guys, display of creativity. And the world, is birthed. Just amazing, right? In 7 days, the Bible says. And think about just being one of those angels. It's like, what's he going to do to me? I rebelled against the living God. He's the sustainer of my existence. How's he going to respond? It's like, what's he doing over there? That black hole. Surely, is he running? Okay, wait a minute. And just this world comes into existence. And this universe, and we've got to get this universe, is infinitely expanding. Imagine that, the Word of God, we don't know exactly how long ago that was, it was a while ago, but the Word of God was released into the atmosphere, into the galaxies, and literally the universe is still responding to that Word. Let there be light. Guys, the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. Yes. Scientists tell us that is unbelievable. There's still galaxies and stars, and just it's still exploding in creativity from that Word. That's our God. And can you imagine being on the other side of that and being like, holy smokes, did I screw up? But just being like, what next, right? Like, there comes the light, and this is, and God's response to rebellion is he creates, and he creates something new. And in the sixth day, the Bible tells us, it's the summit of his creation. And he creates man in his own image. And it's like the pinnacle, right? Because this world is just coming into being. Every day there's something new. It's like light, and then the clouds, and then the land and the sea, right? And then oh, there's all these animals. Wow, this is interesting, And then whoa, he's taking a handful of dirt. What's he going to do with that? Right? And he makes it into a man in the form of his image, and he breathes into him. He doesn't speak man into existence. He forms him with his hands. It speaks of intimacy. And he breathes into him, and he makes him in his own image. It says, we created him in our image, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is a message about creativity and how we're created to create. If it means that God created us, and he's creative, and we're created in his image, yes. We're born and made, and our purpose is to be creative. And I would propose to you tonight that there's something foundational about our existence, and it's this. And this is the power statement for tonight. If you missed this, you missed it. All right? I'm going to say it again. But this is what it is that God wants to make your life a creative expression of His glory. Yes. Okay, think about that. God wants to make your life a creative expression of His glory. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And that's why, if you don't think of yourself as a creative person, I want to talk to you tonight. Because God wants to make your life a creative expression of His glory. So that's the first story. Just thinking about that, and especially about God's response to rebellion. And remember, like I said before, we're rebels. We're rebels at our core when we're born, guys. We're born in the sin nature. And I'm just going to give you a little glimpse here, but what does God do in that? He brings forth a new creation within us. Isn't that crazy? Like that's His response to rebellion. His response to rebellion isn't like, boom! It's like, I'm going to create something here. It's just unbelievable, speaks to who He is. And it's a witness, remember this, it's a witness to principalities and powers. Saying, I am good. I am who I say I am. And I don't have to fight this battle on your terms.
Right?
I don't have to fight this battle on your terms. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to show, I'm going to manifest who I am. All right? That's who He is. And then the other story is in Exodus, I think it's Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Yeah, Exodus 31. And I just want, once again, I'm just kind of framing this for you guys, all right? But I want us to grasp just the gravity of creativity and what that means for us. So Exodus 31, I'll set the context a little bit. You know, God, once again, He's up to something new. He's bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He takes them to Mount Sinai, gives them the law, you know, manifests His glory, all of that stuff. And then He gives them just like these, just so many directives around how to build the tabernacle. And it is incredibly detailed, guys. And it is incredibly complex. And I would think that in that day, without, you know, just all the technology that we have, like laser beams and computers and all of that stuff, like to create this stuff and to make this stuff had to just be intense. I mean, I want you to read that sometime. We're not going to go there now, but like He says, make this, 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 and this. Like, I'm just like, what? How am I supposed to do that? But He has a plan. And this verse, I'm going to read this little section and I'll see, some of you guys are going to catch it, some of you aren't. It'd be interesting to see how that works out. But Exodus 31, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I've filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and engage in all kinds of crafts." This guy is a craftsman. Okay? And what I want to point out in this passage is right away, verse 3 says, "I filled him with the Spirit of God." Okay, that's cool, right? He filled him with the Spirit of God. No. This is the first time in human history that God fills someone with His Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is extremely active, right? But a lot of times He comes on someone, right? And He equips them to do something. But nowhere else up until this point does it say that God filled someone with His Spirit. What was the purpose of that? Creativity. I want us to get that tonight because God wants to fill you with His Spirit and manifest His creative purpose.
Yes.
All right? I don't care if you're a carpenter or if you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're an accountant. He wants to release a creative expression of His glory through your life. All right? And just like Bezalel is literally the first time, like this is the first time in human history it says this. That is significant. Like we're a couple thousand years in at this point when this is spoken. And He's like, I've filled Him with the Spirit of God and He's going to make all this stuff. Like it's a lot of stuff. And it's, but He did it. He totally did it. So that's the second just story I wanted to bring up. Just to kind of get us thinking about just the significance of creativity and what it means for us that we are literally created to create, right? And so, I want to talk about, a couple different aspects of creativity to make this a little bit real for us because now we know that, you know, obviously God values it highly. Can you imagine that moment? He's like, actually, what I'm going to do here to release this is I'm going to fill him with the Spirit of God. And he's going to create this stuff. And it was representations of what was in heaven, right? Incredible prophetic significance. And so it literally took like the Spirit of God to be like, oh no, do it this way. Like, can you imagine like building a shed, you know? It's like, okay, how am I supposed to do this? And the Spirit of God is like, okay, cut that piece of lumber. Okay? Okay, now nail it over here. I'm just like, what? But that was literally the process because he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was so responding to the impulse of the Spirit that he was able to replicate heavenly things as a craftsman. I want us to get that word, craftsman, because it's going to come in later, all right? He's a craftsman. And he releases an expression of God's glory through his life. All right? Bezalel, what a guy. So, three aspects of creativity. First aspect I want to talk about is creativity is existential. What I mean by that is it's key to our existence, all right? What I talked about before, our existence ultimately is about releasing a creative expression of the glory of God. So people might say, like, what am I here to do? Right? Like, what am I here to do? Like, what's my purpose? I mean, that encompasses a lot, but I hope for you tonight, it feels like instead of narrowing it down, it actually explodes a world of possibilities. Because that's what God wants to do in your heart tonight. He doesn't want to narrow down your purpose and your existence like, this is what it's about for you. He wants you to know and to have revelation of the fact that you actually are created to be and to release a creative expression of His glory. Something never before seen. Okay? It's something never before seen that He wants to release through your life. It's as you walk that out that it's like, wow, the glory of God is manifested in the universe right now as a witness to principalities and powers in a way that it's never been before. That's the significance of your life and your identity. All right? It's not about, I want to be like that person. It's about, I want to express. I want to release. I want to manifest the glory of God in a way that only I can do. When you see someone that's walking in their destiny, guys, it is so unique. It is so unique and it is so holy. And your response to that is, wow, God. Wow. That's amazing. When you see someone that's fully living out who they were called to be, you're just like, this just reminds me of something I've seen before. And it's just like the glory of God. It reminds us of who He is. That's you. All right? That's your purpose. That's your calling. And I just want you to be able to like, just expand, like open up the level of possibilities that you've entertained. All right? I want to make a disclaimer here. I'm going to go just into a little bit of a rant about the state of the church, all right? Because it bothers me. But I'm going to make a disclaimer first and say that I love evangelism. All right? Everybody gasp. I love evangelism. But here's the problem, guys. We've narrowed this thing down too far. And what I'm trying to say is the kind of the mainstream Christian culture of our day is considered evangelical, all right? And that's amazing. Like, it's so important that we, like, you know, we release that expression. But here is sometimes what I feel like we're hearing all the time from voices in the church. Voices in the church are just kind of like the overall generic message of the church is this, is that your purpose is to try and convince other people to believe what you do. Okay? Sometimes it feels like that. The whole thing's geared around, I want to try to convince you to believe what I do. It's too narrow, guys. It's too narrow. It's not even, like, historically, that is not the understanding of, like, the breadth of our mission, right? And of the Great Commission. Like, we got to expand it out. And we got to begin to realize that it's as we walk out in 7 billion different expressions of God's glory that we witness to people of who He is. And they're like, I want that. All right? But it's not so much about you got to convince people to believe the way you do. But it's as a witness, right? And it's as we express that in the creative and unique way that we were created to do. We release His glory and it draws people in. All right? So I just wanted to chuck that out there. I just wanted to maybe even like shock us a little bit in the way that we think, okay? Because I feel like it's so critical. Because I feel like there's people who feel like maybe they don't have the kind of personality that's like, wow, that really fires me up. Like the idea of doing that really fires me up. And they're like, what really excites me is like thinking about like making like, you know, an incredible loaf of bread. Just like, what does that have to do with anything? But it's like, no. You walk out to the very fullest who you were called to be, and your life releases and expresses the glory of God. And that's the witness to the kingdom that is to come, right? So, the first aspect of creativity is that it's existential, it's critical to our existence, and it's just there. Right? Our very existence is defined by this purpose, which is to release a creative expression of the glory of God. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys with me? All right, good. So we're gonna jump right into the next part then. This is going to be a brief point, but I just want to say this. That another aspect of creativity is it's universal. And I mentioned before, I don't care if you're an accountant. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't care if you're a carpenter, a farmer. Like, you have a DNA that is made in the image of God and says, I want to create. I want to bring order to chaos, yes. Right? I want to see things that are undefined and vague. I want to see them brought into definition and clarity and beauty, right? I want to exert my skill and I want to see something magnificent like form in front of me, right? We are made for this, guys.
Yes.
The God who made us literally spoke the worlds into being and it was empty and without void, right? It was in chaos. And he said, I'm bringing definition, I'm bringing clarity, I'm telling them what they are and they're going to come into being. Right? It's unbelievable the complexity of creation.
Yeah.
Like just like read a couple pages on what the brain is composed of. It's just like, what? Like you formed that out of dust? Like what did you say when you breathed life into us? Like the human body itself is so complex and it's unbelievable. But we have a desire within us to create. We have a desire within us. And if we limit that to, hey, I'm not really the type that like, I'm just not creative. I'm just not like really that artsy. I'm just not intrigued by that. Guys, your definition of creativity and your purpose is too narrow. All right? This is universal, guys. There's 7 billion people in the earth. What does that mean? It means that God has purposed in his heart in this generation. He wants to release 7 billion unique expressions of his glory. Okay? And I don't care if that's like, it's across all spheres, guys. He wants to release creativity upon his people. And he wants them to manifest his glory. Whether you're in government, whether you're in education, right? Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're in business, whether you're in arts and media, right? Whatever it might be, he wants to release creativity through you. And he wants to release his nature and character through you in a creative way that expresses his glory. Right? It's what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do. Just like Bezalel is like, okay, there's Moses, right? He had like the face-to-face with God. He like comes down off the mountain, like veil on his face, like, boo, like, whoa, put it back. You know what I mean? Like, don't show your face, Moses. Like, crazy. That's Moses, right? And there's Bezalel, like, okay, you know, keep my distance here. And then Moses is like, hey, come over here. You're supposed to make this. Can you imagine that moment? It's like, what are you talking about? Why don't you make it? You met face to face with God. You're the prophet. You're the leader. You make it. Why don't you speak it into existence? I don't know. Moses, no. You're a craftsman. You're a craftsman. God wants to release a unique expression of his glory through your life. All right? And it's like, boom, fills him with the Spirit of God. What would it look like, guys? I want us to think a little bit. What would it look like if we would adopt that mindset? What would it look like if you showed up at work on Monday morning? If you woke up on Monday morning and it was like, God is going to fill me with his Spirit today. And I'm going to create. Right? I'm going to create. I don't care if you're working with QuickBooks. I don't care if you're working with a stapler. I don't care if you're working with, you know, a tractor. God wants to create. And he values what you put your hand to. Did you know Moses is a man of God? Psalm 91. Lord, establish the work of our hands. Let the work of our hands be established. He values what you put your hand to. And he values it when it's done from a heart posture. Jesus, you are worthy of this.
Yes.
You are worthy of this. And it's only as we begin to step into that that he can release us into our destiny. So only as we begin to step into that and we begin to respond to the Spirit of God within us and we begin to express God's creative purpose, that he releases the next step and the next step, right? He values what we do, and he values who we are. And he wants to flow through you in a way that he can't through anyone else. He wants to release a creative expression of his glory in your life. Right? It's so interesting. Even when we sit around, you know, sometimes just people that I'm doing life with and running with, and even just, you know, my wife, for example, we're so different. We're so different. But God wants it that way. It's like, I made you to be unique. I made you to be different. I want to release a creative expression. Right? Never before seen. Very unique. Okay? Creativity is universal, guys. Every one of us is created to create. Another aspect of creativity, and this really ties off what I just said, but creativity is personal. Okay? Creativity is personal. This is what Jesus said, and I love this statement, guys. I'm undone by this statement every time I think about it. This is what he said, John 17:4. Jesus got this, by the way. Can you imagine being God for 30 years and not doing much? Supposedly. Can you imagine? Like, it's pretty clear at age 12, he knew exactly who he was. He's like, I'm about my father's business. Why are you worried about me? Right? Joseph and Mary show up at the temple like, son, what are you doing? Like, you've been looking for days. Like, seriously? Worry this out of our minds. What's your problem? Like, can you think about your brothers, your sisters? We'd have to leave them to come back and look over Jerusalem. 3 days is a long time to look for a 12-year-old kid. He's in the temple, right? He's just chilled out. He's like talking with the religious leaders of the day. He's talking with the brightest minds in Israel. And he's astounding them with his knowledge of the scripture. And they ask him, and he's like, I'm about my father's business. Guys, in that moment, what was it like for Jesus as a 12-year-old boy to realize who he was? And to realize he is the Word. And he can literally unpack this thing. And he can take these scholars and he can like train them up. And he can like take them and they're going to be his first disciples. And he can like take this thing by storm, right? Nope, not time. Turns around, goes with his parents back to Nazareth. 30 years, guys. Jesus lived in the his life literally was in the context of oppression. That Israel was occupied by the Romans, who were absolutely brutal. Right? He would have saw multiple crucifixions. He would have saw multiple injustices just surrounding him. His life on earth was characterized by suffering. And I don't just mean his own suffering. I mean the people around him. His father died. That's pretty clear at some point. What was it like for him being God and being like, my dad's dying and I could do something? You're like, where am I going with this? I'll get there, right? I just want you to get this in your minds a little bit. Like, what was it like for him? His life characterized by suffering, by poverty, by injustice. And what's he doing? He's a stonemason. 30 years a stonemason. Some of us feel like that. Some of us can relate to exactly what I'm talking about. You know who you are. You know what God's put inside of you. You know what you're meant to release. You know the voice you're meant to have. But you feel like, I'm cleaning houses. What does this have to do with anything? You know? I'm like, I'm mowing lawns for a living. Like, how does this translate? Jesus is stonemason. 30 years. He's God. At least 18 years that he knew it. But he's walking out in the expression of who God created him to be. And he knows that as long as he stays faithful to that, the time will come. And literally his first miracle is like out of time. It's like his mom's like, hey, like do whatever he tells you. And he's like, it's not my time yet. And then he tells him to do something. And it's like, boom, the glory of God's manifested. Some incredibly delicious wine. You know? She's like, what? Jesus is like, what are you trying to tell us? No, what he's trying to tell us is he values the mundane. He values the process. And he values this idea that we bring glory to God in every aspect of our being. And if we can't connect that to the gospel message, we have just narrowed this thing way too far down. Because if we do that, then we think, if I'm not on the platform, if I'm not on the stage, if I'm not preaching, if I'm not doing this, if I'm not doing DTS, right? Then I'm not fulfilling my purpose. That's 30 years of stonemason. Grinding poverty. Went to bed hungry many a night. Nazareth was like, it was like worse than Coatesville, guys. Like, it was grimy. I'm telling you, it's like nothing good comes from Nazareth, you know? He lived there. Can you imagine taking on that identity, taking on flesh? He knows who he is. Anyway, this is a statement that he makes. Because then he, of course, we know the rest of the story, right? He spends 3 years. 3 years! Less than one-tenth of his earthly existence. Walking out in what we think was his, and it was his destiny, clearly, but walking out in what we aspire to, right? I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to cleanse lepers. I want to cast out demons. And I want to declare the finger of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is now. Right? All this stuff. Amazing. 33 years. And this is what he says in the Last Supper. I don't even have to pick this up. This is what he says in the Last Supper. Right? His disciples are with him. He is like, it's like the last impartation. It's like, look, this is like, if there's anything else I got to tell you, I'm telling it right now, because tomorrow this time I'm dead. I'm dead. And somehow I have to put something inside of you that causes you to stay in Jerusalem for at least 3 days. Because it's pretty important that you're here when I rise. It's pretty important that someone shows up to the tomb on Sunday morning to like anoint my body for burial, right? Like, that's critical, because if they don't, it's like, how's the angel going to tell him? Jesus isn't here. He's alive, right? So he is like imparted. It's the last impartation. And this is what he says to him. It's this prayer, right? So he goes through this whole spiel, just profound, guys. And John, I feel like John wrote it because he was right there. He was probably literally like 6 inches from Jesus' mouth. So he writes all this stuff down, but Jesus prays, and like the opening paragraph of his prayer is this. It's, he says that, I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Guys, that is my prayer. Not only for myself, but for every one of you. You would bring glory to God on the earth by finishing the work that he gave you to do. And maybe you're not aware of it, but that work starts right now. Good. Not when you get the platform. Not when you get the stadium, guys. There's a creative work that God is doing in your life now. And if you're going to finish the work that he gave you to do, it's time to expand in your mind what it looks like to follow Jesus. And say that whatever I do, maybe I'm having a conversation with my dad. Maybe I'm going out for coffee with a friend. Maybe I'm like in 90 degree weather in July putting shingles on a roof. Whatever I do, I'm going to release a creative expression of his glory. And that is what's going to change the world. That is what's going to allow you to get to the end of your life. And your prayer is, I have finished the work you gave me to do. And I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work. All right? That is Jesus' confidence. That's why he can say in that moment of despair, it is finished. And by the way, that is a victory cry. I forget the Greek word that he used there, but it was literally the word that when soldiers were dueling together, right? And they're like going at it with swords or whatever. This is like the blow that you strike to your enemy. And it's like literally the word that he shouted. And it's like, that's what he said. On the cross. And the reason he could say that, like, this is the victory, this is it. My work is done, I brought glory to you. Right? It's because 33 years, it didn't start for him when he made water into wine. It started for him the instant he had an inkling of who he was. And he was about his Father's business. And he embraced that process. And his life got, guys, unbelievable. Who Jesus was. We focus sometimes so much on that little window that we forget that he was a man. 33 years he lived and waited and dreamed and hoped and prayed and cried and fasted, right? 33 years, guys, and he just poured it all out for us. He took on flesh. Like, we can't even imagine the context of his life. So that's what I mean when I say creativity is personal. It is personal because God's wish and God's heart for you is that literally, obviously, a good and faithful servant, right? Enter thou the joy of thy Lord. Like, he so wants you to be able to say, brought glory to you on earth, Jesus. I brought glory to you on earth, Father, by finishing the work you gave me to do. And if we wait to start that work till we feel like it's starting, it's never going to start. No, I can't. I think I can. What I'm going to say is if you wait to start that work until you think it's starting, it's never going to start. It starts now. It starts in the mundane. It starts in realizing that your life is a creative expression of His glory. He loves you. He loves the way you do stuff. He loves the way you talk. He loves the way you like interact with people. He loves it. He loves it because it's a unique expression. And He is big enough, guys. He is big enough to personally relate to that. He is big enough to personally relate to who you are and how you manifest His glory. It's not just Jesus that gets, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Okay? It's the Father's roar for every single one of us. When we embrace the process and we just say, "I'm just in. And I just want my life to be a creative expression. I'm just going to embrace whatever it looks like. Like, I'm just in Jesus." Like, I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'm just going to live for you. I'm just going to live for you. And I'm going to witness, guys. Remember the beginning of the story. I'm going to witness to principalities and powers that God is good and His love endures forever. And I'm going to take this mundane task and I'm going to make it sacred because I'm doing it for Jesus. That's New Testament theology, by the way. Okay? It's for us. All right? So I want to talk a little bit. I want to shift just a little bit and talk about what God's doing in the earth. I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about the church because historically, the church, believers, have been at the forefront of every single explosion of creativity and progress and just you name it. Whether it's beauty, science, like the Industrial Revolution, like you can go on and on. They have been at the forefront and at the cutting edge of ushering in these things. All right, historically. There's just such a war and such a rage against a manifestation of beauty and of glory and of creativity in the church. And I want to talk about that. Because the church, guys, is the most profoundly creative group of people on earth. We haven't really taken that on as an identity. So many times, even those of us who have a passion and a heart to really see the church rise in glory and like shine, right? Shine with beauty and bring solutions to the brokenness of our day and of our generation. To bring solutions into government, to bring solutions into the business world, to bring solutions into families, guys. We need it. Yeah. Families are broken. My wife and I, we're praying right now and we're learning about the foster care system. Guys, families are broken. We need the church. The world, guys, we need the church to bring creative solutions to the table. And so many times, our identity as the people of God is that we're behind. And it's that the very best that we could possibly do is maybe catch up. Like, maybe we'll get like a little bit of the limelight on the platforms of the world, right? And that'll be like, okay, there, now we nailed it. Guys, that is just, we can't take that on. We can't take that on. We've got to have this realization that whether we activate it or not, whether we step into it or not, latent within us is creative possibilities that would blow way past any solutions that the world and the human mind can bring to the table. Because we're the most profoundly creative group of people on the earth, and this is why. It's because we are God's new creation. We are the rebels who've been created back into the family. Right? God's redemptive work is literally recreating us to once again display His glory. And get this. This is why the church is the most profoundly creative group of people. It's because the very foundation of life in Christ, the very foundation of the Christian belief, the very foundation of everything that we believe in is a vibrant connection with the God who created the universe. Don't you think maybe he has some things to tell us about how to run it? And don't you think that maybe it's the people that are connected to him who are going to receive those revelations? Don't you think so?
Yes.
Or are we actually bound to drinking from broken cisterns?
Come on.
Jeremiah 2 wrecked my heart on this message, guys. It says, you've left the fountain of living water and you're digging broken cisterns. And I feel like that is our pursuit of creativity. I feel like we're looking at humanistic manifestations of creativity as the standard. And it can't touch what God wants to release through the church. And that's why I don't get that excited when someone gets a platform on, like, you know, some of these major labels or whatever. I'm like, don't patronize us. Don't patronize the church with your platform. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying we can't take on an identity of, like, we're trying to catch up to what the world can release in creativity. Because here's the truth, and this is a little bit crazy. Humans are by nature creative. And maybe, just maybe, the reason that God responded to Lucifer's rebellion by releasing creativity was because that was something that Lucifer could never do. He's not a creative being, guys. He's not a creative being. Just the fact that he's the father of lies does not mean he's creative. Right? He's not a creative being. He is unable to create. All right? And so God, in response to his rebellion, he releases this stunning display of creativity. The pinnacle of that is humankind. And now we've been, let's track with this, right? Now we've been recreated into God's family, right? As a new creation. Here's the reality, and this is why we see so much brokenness in the world, is that although Satan's not creative, he is able to hijack our innate ability to create and warp it for his purpose. Right? You guys didn't get that. His only shot is to ride on our backs. That's why he came to the woman in the garden. His only chance of getting a piece of that, right, is to ride on our backs. And if we think, guys, I'm telling you, arts and media, that sphere is so demonized. But if we think that we are limited to drinking from that, from a broken cistern, if we think we are limited to drawing our ideas and our creativity from that realm, it's just wrong. We've got to get fresh revelation. And it's the vibrant connection. Remember, the very foundational piece of our life in Christ is a vibrant connection to God who created the universe. And so that's what I mean when I say the church is the most profoundly creative group of people on earth. When you committed your life to Jesus Christ, you tapped into a never-ending, constantly expanding, galaxy-creating reality of creativity. And he wants to explode that through your life. He wants to release wisdom and revelation. He wants to give you words of knowledge about things that you're facing in your workplace. He wants to take his people and he wants them to bring creative solutions to the brokenness of the world. I think Bill Johnson said this, and he said, if the gospel doesn't work in the marketplace, it's not the real gospel. And I said that statement just to say this. If the gospel, if what we said, this is the good news, guys. If this reality of Jesus Christ, the cross, the empty tomb, the Holy Spirit poured out, if this reality does not translate to our spheres of influence, we are powerless. We have created a subculture where we can feel comfortable about what we believe. But if we can't take the gospel and apply it to our high school degrees and to our homes and to our workplaces, and to the Chamber of Commerce in Lancaster County, and to the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. if we can't take the gospel and apply it, we are powerless. We are stuck in a dead sea. And we're trying to get the world to clamor over each other to jump in. If we can't take the gospel, and we can't take that thing and walk it out and say, this is what it means that Jesus is alive. This is what it means that He's Lord. And this is how it applies to this situation in government, to this situation, right, in arts, in media. This is how it applies to this line of this movie script that I'm writing. Jesus is Lord, right? When that happens, guys, the world will turn upside down.
Yeah.
And not for the first time. Not for the first time. It's happened again and again throughout history. Yeah. And it's when people realize that the gospel matters. And this connection changes everything. And I'm not limited to the four walls of a gathering. All right? That's the church. And so I'm moving towards wrap up here. And I want to actually take us into Zechariah 1. And if you have a Bible, if you have your phone, which is more likely, and that's great. Zechariah 1. Actually, if you have your phone, it'll probably be easier to find. Because if you just have a Bible, you'll probably be flipping through like I am right now. I think it's after like the major prophets pretty soon. You should probably bookmark this because it's easy to fly right by it. Somebody help me out. Is it before Joel?
A couple books before Matthew.
Yeah.
It's like 8 books after Joel.
Is it after Daniel?
Yeah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah.
There we go. That's the row I was looking for. Zephaniah.
I got you.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Haggai. Zechariah. Okay, I'm there. That gave everybody else some time to get there. Okay, you guys are there? Zechariah 1?
Yeah.
Zechariah 1. And this is so intriguing, and I really want to preach this, guys. I really want to preach this. And right now, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would release an anointing on this word. I pray that this word would explode in people's hearts with revelation, and it would just give them a fresh vision for what you're doing in the earth. Amen. Because this what I'm going to read is Zechariah. It's just a very short passage. And it's interesting because I was listening to Bill Johnson teach a couple of weeks ago. And he taught on this passage, and that's actually what birthed this message in my heart. It really got me to thinking, and I was like, wow. And this passage actually birthed this whole message. And the reason I'm bringing it in the end is because I feel like we have to have a fresh vision, right? Because we know that the creativity is key to our existence. We know that it's universal. We know that it's personal. We know that, right? We know that stuff now. But we have to have a fresh vision for what does it look like to partner with God to release that into the earth. And what is even the result of that, right? So I'm just going to read this. Zechariah was a prophet, and like all prophets, he employed a lot of symbolic imagery, all right? I'm just going to have a real quick crash course on what some of that means, because otherwise this is going to be like speaking another language to you. You're not going to understand what I'm trying to say. Okay, first of all, a lot of times in prophetic language, right? A lot of times when they're prophesying, a lot of times in the Bible, when they're talking, when they're using the number 4, okay? Many times, I'm not sure it's every time, but as a whole, they're talking about the 4 directions or the 4 winds, right? North, south, east, west. And what they're referring to is something that's happening on a global scale or something that's happening on an extremely widespread scale, okay? That's where the number 4 comes in. A lot of times it's describing something that is global. It's a global reality, all right? And then when prophets talk about horns, okay, it's like they're talking about authority. Okay? Like Daniel, it's like a horn grew up out of the beast, and it's like, what the heck are you talking about? No, what he's saying is there's this world system that a seat of authority grew up out of. And that's what it means many, many times when in prophetic language, a horn is simply referring to a seat of authority or a release of authority, right? Or an emerging authority. Okay, you guys with me? You guys with me? All right, I want you to get this. I really do. Holy Spirit. So if you got those two, then we're ready to go. So a lot of times the number 4 is global and horns is referring to authority. So now I'm going to read this passage. Zechariah 1 verse 18. Verse 18 through 20. It's very brief. Yeah, it's very brief, but I'm going to read it. So, this is Zechariah. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these?" He answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, "What are these coming to do?" He answered, "These are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise their head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people." Zechariah is having this encounter with an angel who's speaking to him. And he's seeing these things. And the angel is explaining to him what he's seeing. And first of all, he sees these four, this global, right? Remember, four is global. This global release of power and authority to do what? To scatter the people of God. All right? It's what it's representing here. Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. There's a global release of demonic power to scatter the people of God. And a little bit further it says, these are the horns that scattered Judah. These are the demonic powers that scattered the people of God so that no one could raise their head. And I feel like, guys, when it comes to this realm of creativity, the church is hanging its head. And it feels like there's a demonic release of just filth and perversion of pure creativity that expresses the glory of God that has just been released on a global scale. Right? And it feels like the people of God have just been scattered by this and they're just hanging their heads. Then he says, but now what are you seeing? Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I said, okay, what are these coming to do? And he said, the craftsmen have come to terrify this global demonic release and to throw down these horns who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people. What he's saying is he's seeing a release of craftsmen, a global release of creativity. These are the craftsmen, guys. These are the artisans. These are the musicians. These are the architects. These are the mothers, the fathers. This is the movement. It's a global release of creativity that's come to terrify demonic powers and throw them down. Remember, what is God's response to rebellion? It's a release of creativity. And I'm telling you guys, our generation will see a day when there's a global release of creativity in the church where the glory of God will be expressed and it will shine. And those craftsmen, they will terrify. They will terrify demonic powers and they will throw them down. Because it's God's purpose to have His glory. And it's your purpose to express His glory, all right? And we are seeing that day, guys. But we have got to get out from under this mindset that says we're trying to catch up. We're trying to catch up to what humanism has come up with. We're trying to catch up to what all these different ideologies have come up with and have birthed in the earth. It's like we got to catch up. No, guys. No. There is craftsmen. There's a global release of creativity that will terrify demonic powers and it will throw them down. Because it will remind them of the glory of God. And it will remind them of the goodness of God. And it will remind them of that day at creation when they were taken aback by this display of the grandeur of God and they realized this is it. We made a mistake. God's going to do it through His new creation. All right? And you are going to be a part of it. Your life is going to release His glory. You are going to say, I have brought glory to you by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And you are going to put your hand to whatever is in front of you and you're going to make it shine. Okay? It's what God's doing. All right?
Yes.
That's it.
So good, Steve.
That's it. Yeah, come on. He is releasing creativity. All right? He's releasing creativity. I just want to bring it home a little bit, guys. He's releasing creativity into our community. Some of you have gifts that you haven't stepped into because it's like, what does this have to do with the kingdom? And you're not sure, and so you don't step into that. God wants you to step into that. He wants you to step into that. He wants you to release that expression of His glory. And it is time for you to realize that. And it is time for you to express that. And it is time for you to walk that out. Because the craftsmen are going to terrify the powers of darkness. It's through beauty. It's through creativity. It's through the glory of God. It's through expressing just the grandeur and the majesty of God that God wins the day. And not through brute force. And not through saying, down with this rebellion. Extinguish their existence. It's not releasing creativity. Form without form and void. And He speaks. And it's like light explodes out of His mouth. And is still expanding. That's the God that Jesus Christ connected us to. That's the God that the cross bridged the gap. And brought us into communion with that God. And that's what we're representing. That's the glory that we're expressing, guys. And we no longer can afford to be defined by broken cisterns when there is living water flowing. Yeah. And we no longer can hang our heads and be like, are we ever going to catch up? It's time for us to rise up and set the standard.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I'm going to pray for you guys, all right? I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that God would release creativity. I'm going to pray that God would just give you a new paradigm of what it looks like to serve Him even, and to engage with the gospel message. He said, make disciples of all nations. That only happens when the gospel matters in everything you do. All right? So, Father, I thank You. I thank You for this community. I thank You for this generation. God, there is a hunger to know You. There is a hunger to find purpose. There is a hunger to release creativity. So, Father, I thank You for this community and this generation. And I ask You right now, Holy Spirit, just like the way that You filled Bezalel to craft and to create and to replicate heavenly things, I ask You that You would fill us. I ask You that You would fill us. And that, God, You would release a creative expression of Your glory through our lives. And that our lives would set the standard in our sphere of influence for what it looks like to bring solutions to the table. And so, Father, I ask You for anointing, this release of anointing right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. I think I'm done. Dave, you want to come up and transition us? Sure. Awesome. Do you want the mic?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, it actually carries really well in this room.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Dave, you can take it away. Transition us. It's all yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Man, I think that's, now we all know what it's like to drink from a fire hydrant, huh? but yeah, just so resonate with that word, dude. Thank you so much. I do just want to remind us, too, it's like a partnership, right? So it's like everything we do is in partnership. Everything new is in relationship. So the way that this has been structured has been very key. It's even been a word from the Lord that we're going to meet corporately once a month. But if we're going to wait to drink again until next month, we're going to be pretty dry by the time they'll come back, no matter how much we retain from this. There are just multiple ways to stay connected. One of those is a network and community group, which are launching. And really what it is just meeting in homes with groups of 6 to 12 people to begin walking out what we're discovering when we meet once a month. So if you want to sign up for a group, there is a sign-up sheet back at the table. You can also see me, Dave, and Ruth. You guys just want to raise your hands. They're going to be launching a group here the next month or so if you want to talk to them as well. Arlen and Dexter, you guys want to raise your hands? As well. So we're racing to launching a network of groups so we can do life together and then really show up corporately once a month to just be fed and see each other. So that's the one opportunity. The other opportunity is there is a box in the back. It costs around $400 to pull the night off. It's not that much, but again, just an